Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a decision that's based on political dogma. It's not decided by denominational distinctives. We make the decision based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word is very clear, in particular when we talk about our nation and our foundation and what we're doing as a nation and how we the people should respond in an election cycle. And as we think about that, we see in Psalms 11 and in verse 3, the Scripture is very clear. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to understand that our nation is built on the foundation of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. It's the book of truth.
It is one of those things that multitudes today are shying away from. But Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And then in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus made a declaratory statement when he said, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to count in your life and in mine. Every decision that we make needs to be made based on the truth book. It was the secularist George Orwell that said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you don't believe that's true, just watching the Beltway of Washington when Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Chuck Schumer and the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrat crowd, and you'll find out that they have forgotten what truth really is about. But it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That ought to be our mantra. That should be our mandate. That should be the manner of life for each and every one under the sound of my voice today. We need to seek the truth. Listen. By the way, if you're seeking the truth, you're not going to listen and tune in to the Communist Network News. You won't find a source of truth there. In fact, it's getting rare to find real truth, total truth, on Fox News even. My wife and I were just discussing the other day, I believe it's time that another news source come available so that it is based on truth and not simply the diatribe that you hear so often on what is called the news channels. We need to go back to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that truth should be the centrality of our life and living. And ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner equipment with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the generators put out by Honda. They have a full knowledgeable staff of individuals to answer all of your questions about power equipment, power backup equipment for hurricane season. They have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner and for the professional in the landscape business. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, well, where is that located? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flows. That 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Find the flag, the U.S. flag, at the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I'm passionate about. That is that of voting. And I have simply called this Every Vote Counts. Every Vote Counts. Very quickly, for just a little tidbit of information and historical relevance that some of you may recall, back a number of years ago, Jay Fant was elected to the State House of Representatives of the state of Florida. Jay's election as a conservative Republican, he was elected by two votes. Two votes put him in office. Never will forget, and you've heard me say perhaps before, when it comes to election time, my wife and I sat in Jay's office in Tallahassee on the day that he was sworn in, and we were having coffee and donuts. And I said, Jay, you do realize that our two votes put you in office. And he laughingly said, well, he said, I've had about 100 to tell me the same thing. But the bottom line is every vote counts. And I want us to understand that today. Perhaps if you're listening and you've not registered to vote, we're going to be talking about voter registration. If you are registered, we're going to be talking about how you ought to vote. Yes, we're going to talk about how we ought to vote as Christians and as conservatives. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to our studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue today. If you're not registered to vote and you want to know where or how, we're going to be talking about that. In just a moment, we're going to introduce our very special guest, Bruce Latimer. Bruce is with the Republican Party. He's been pounding the pavement door to door and trying to find folks that will schedule a voter registration day. And we're going to talk about that and the need for that in Duval County and each of the counties surrounding us. If we're going to do that which I believe God would have us to do, ladies and gentlemen, on November the 3rd in the election process, we're going to be ready. We're going to be prayed up. We're going to ask God to intervene. You see, whatever we do is for naught, lest God is the one that does the motivation and the empowerment. So we need to recognize the fact that God gives us the voter's guide in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21, and we'll look at that in a moment, where it tells us what kind of people to elect. The only way we can make that determination and decision is to have God give us wisdom and empower us, encourage us, and challenge us through the Word of God to be that which He would have us to be. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just talk about a broader picture for a moment. Then we're going to trickle down with what I call the current local issues and what we need to do and what's on the state of Florida ballot for November the 3rd and how we need to respond to it. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, in Washington, I don't know if there's been a time in my lifetime, and I'm still under the 100 mark, but I can tell you they're in a total state of anger and hostility and hysteria in Washington. Just since RBG died, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, since she died, and by the way, you've heard me say this before, and let me repeat it at the risk of redundancy, I believe God's divine intervention has already started in that relationship. God is the one that makes the determination. Our days are numbered. Our every breath is numbered. Our life is in the very hands of God. And just 40-plus days before the election, Ruth Bader Ginsburg goes out into eternity. Now, I'm not going to take the time to say what I think is the end result. Only God knows her heart and her relationship. But may I say this? God has put President Donald J. Trump in a position of leadership and authority and responsibility of replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And yet the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and AOC, Chuck Schumer, by the way, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Chuck Schumer having AOC standing beside him as they were both encouraging each other to challenge the Republicans of how wrong they are, how wrong we are, Bruce. He's challenging the Republicans, saying that you're wrong. This is unconstitutional, that the president ought not to do that. He doesn't have the authority to appoint a new justice. But ladies and gentlemen, as we'll talk about in a moment, he has the total authority, the constitutional mandate, that he do exactly what he's doing, and that is to appoint a replacement. But as a result of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, then, of course, the Socialist Marxist BLM Democrat Communist Party are strongly declaring that President Trump does not have the authority to select a Supreme Court nominee. And further, they're claiming that the Senate has no authority to vote. Now, I don't know how arbitrary and capricious you could be than to make that statement. And one of the major things is because the general public, for the most part, is not aware of our Constitution. This is the reason I say that why we have so many airheads and mushheads today that are coming out of the institutions of higher education with a four-year or master's degree or a doctoral degree, postgraduate degree, where they supposedly have an education, but they do not know our Constitution, do not know our Founding Fathers' documents, and the fact that we're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. And so as a result of that, we're having all kind of hysteria that's ginned up in these last days before November the 3rd election in an attempt to undermine, tear down, and destroy our constitutional republic. They're even saying that the McConnell Doctrine is something that ought not to allow us to vote. And the McConnell Doctrine is not saying that at all. In fact, they're grossly, as one writer says, Democrat media grossly misrepresent the McConnell rule. Here's why it doesn't apply. Let me just read you a couple of paragraphs from this article. It took just minutes after the announcement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death for the Republicans and the Democrats to begin fighting over whether President Donald J. Trump should nominate a judge to fill the new vacancy on the high court and whether the Senate should consider whomever President Trump nominates. Citing the so-called McConnell rule, Democrats have claimed that the Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, should wait until after the election to consider filling the vacancy. But McConnell was quick to announce Friday that the Senate will, in fact, vote on Trump's nominee. President Trump's nominee will receive, this is what McConnell is saying, will receive a vote on the floor of the United States Senate. What is the McConnell rule is the question that this writer is asking. Like the so-called Biden rule, the standard that McConnell advocated in 2016 was that the Supreme Court vacancy should not be filled in an election year when the political party that has the majority in the Senate is not the same political party that controls the White House. You can disagree with McConnell rule if you like, which was previously known as the Biden rule, but you should describe it accurately, he says. It's no confirmations in a political election year. Presidential election year when the Senate presidents are held by different parties. Doesn't apply this year, commentator Molly Hemingworth said in her interview. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the executive branch and the legislative branch, the Senate, are controlled by Republicans. In a Republican-controlled Senate, the Constitution doesn't say anything about the House having any say-so about the affirmation and the confirmation of an appointment for the U.S. Supreme Court. It is the Senate, and the Senate is controlled by we, the conservatives, the Republican Party. And all the Republicans are not conservatives, by the way, as we'll talk about in a moment. But because we control the executive branch and the Senate, we have the full authority based on even the McConnell rule. And beyond that, we have the full authority based on the U.S. Constitution for the president to make the determination and the decision. The point that I want us to understand, there's going to be a vote in the Senate about whoever President Trump appoints as his nominee. The citizens of our great nation, ladies and gentlemen, as citizens, we need to understand that there's a privilege, a responsibility, and an opportunity for we the people to vote. We're the ones that make the decision on the direction that our nation goes in. And it's been my prayer for months and months and months now that we the people will vote according to the Word of God on November the 3rd, and continue the pathway and the trajectory that we've seen for 244 years in the United States of America. I don't want to see us as a banana republic. I do not want to see America go down the tube and lose our constitutional republic. I want to see us continue to go in the direction that God has allowed us to go in for the past 244 years. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Senate, there's a 53-47 divide. 53 Republicans, 47 as somebody recently called them, the Demorats, but they're the ones that now are saying that there shouldn't be a vote. But out of the 53 Republicans, there's few of those, ladies and gentlemen, that are out and out rhinos, Republicans in name only. One being Senator Collins, the other is Senator Romney. You know, Romney was one that voted on one portion of the impeachment for President Trump. Romney is still angry that he's not president. Romney still feels in his elitist mindset that President Trump is not qualified. Romney still has the mindset that he was robbed of the opportunity to be president. But ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that he was not elected as president. At the time, by the way, for your edification, I had some badges made that said, vote for the Mormon rather than the moron. And we had at that time the opportunity to say, we're going to vote for Romney and put him in office, or put Barack Hussein Obama back in office. And we had to pick the better of the two evils. But I'm thankful that God didn't go in that direction for America. But at this point in time, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, every vote counts. Your vote. And if you're not registered to vote, shame on you. If you're not registered to vote, why not? You've got until October the 3rd to be registered to vote in the Republican / Democratic primary, or the general election, November the 3rd. And I'm encouraging you to do so. I'm encouraging you. We cannot, ladies and gentlemen, afford to have Joe Biden, the Trojan horse, being brought into the presidency as the Oval Office. But we have those three senators, Collins, Romney, and Murkowski. All three of them, ladies and gentlemen, are Republicans in name only. And all three of them, ladies and gentlemen, have decided that they're not going to vote for the candidate that President Trump will nominate. Here's an article that says, Trump's Supreme Court nominee will receive a vote. And it's reiterating what I said a moment ago. This article states in the latter portion of it, by contrast, Americans reelected our majority in 2016 and expanded it in 2018 because we pledged to work with President Trump and support his agenda, particularly his outstanding appointments for federal judiciary. We will keep our promise, Senator McConnell says. And I'm thankful that he's standing with our president on that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thankful that he is in office at this time. We need to recognize that God is on the throne. God's still in control. God's still in charge. But we, the people, we have the responsibility to carry out that duty that we have and sacred obligation and opportunity of voting. President Trump has, ladies and gentlemen, announced that he's going to select a woman for the high court. Well, some may be against that. In fact, very frankly, you want to know the honest position, you've heard me say before, when you look at the Word of God, God's Word says that it's a man's responsibility as the head of the home, head of the church, and the head of our nation. It's man's responsibility, and no place in the Scripture does it say that we need to elect a woman in a position, and that's not denigrative of women, but God ordained it so that man is the one that is responsible for the direction of our nation. But nevertheless, President Trump is taking the course of action that I believe that he feels is right for the nation, and since we had Ruth Bader Ginsburg as the seat that's being filled today because of her death, I believe that he feels he needs to fill that seat with a female. So that's all right if we look at it from the standpoint of his selections. He's got about 8, 10, 11 on the list that are women. Out of that, he's narrowed it down to about 5. Out of that, he's narrowed it down to about 2 or 3. And out of that 2 or 3, he's going to make a selection. Here's an article that says, Trump says Supreme Court pick will most likely be a woman. Announcement could come next week, and this article was dated last week on Thursday or Friday. He says, and I quote, "Will be a woman, a very talented, very beautiful, a brilliant woman," Trump said. "I think it should be a woman. I actually like women much more than I like men," Trump said. The commander-in-chief opened his rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina, by paying tribute to the late justice, saying, "You may disagree with her, but she was a tremendous inspiration to a number of people." He was playing diplomacy there. He says, "I say to all Americans," Trump told the reporters before boarding Air Force One to North Carolina, that his pick would most likely be announced next week. That is this week. In fact, as of this morning on Fox and Friends at about 6:30 on their broadcast, they were saying that Trump had committed to making a decision between now and Friday, perhaps as late as Saturday, but between now and Friday. That gives 2 or 3 days for him to make that determination. I believe he's already decided, just waiting until there's some connecting of the dots behind the scenes to make the final announcement. This article says Trump also asserted his right to nominate a new justice before the election. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize back in years gone by, and I believe it was Byron White, I'm not positive, but I think it was Byron White, that was nominated and voted on in 17 days. Senator Dale Connor was 30 days. We had several, I think one or two others, that was nominated and voted on in the Senate in a matter of a few days. What was that?
Somebody was in nominated and confirmed in one day, long time ago.
In one day, yes. We're talking, ladies and gentlemen, about the need for our vote, and the every vote counts, and what President Trump is talking about doing. And he says here, Trump also asserted the right to nominate the new justice before the election. Article 2 of the Constitution says the president shall nominate justices of the Supreme Court. I don't think it could be any more clear, can it? President Trump stated in his interview on that occasion. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we want us to understand today in this broadcast, and in just a moment we're going to have Brother Bruce Latimer have some dialogue and discussion with us about your need to register, the need to vote, and what we need to do in relationship to that. By the way, just to set the stage, Bruce, before we get into the dialogue and discussion on that, some of the movers and shakers for the one that stays in his basement, the one that's afraid of his shadow, the one that can't put two sentences together, but yet we're to believe that he could be qualified to be president, when in reality Kamala Harris has already talked about the Harris administration. Right. So it would be Kamala Harris and AOC that's ruling the Oval Office if Joe Biden is elected. But they have already pushed him to commit that if he's elected president, the Democrats can stave off the appointment of a justice by President Trump, Joe Biden will then appoint Michelle Obama as a Supreme Court justice to fill the seat of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. In fact, it is understood here in this, I've got an article that's scary when you read it. It says, liberals suggest Biden announce he'd appoint Michelle Obama to the Supreme Court to honor RBG. With Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden on record as having said he will appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court, he is now being urged to appoint former First Lady Michelle Obama to the vacancy left by the death of RBG. House wrote that Biden's pick must spotlight a woman who embodies the dream of the civil rights movement. That person must be former First Lady Michelle Obama. She's singularly qualified, this article says, to occupy the seat that inherits the ideals of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't scare your socks off, nothing should. Nothing could. We need to understand, Bruce.
Amazing.
Bruce, it's important, I believe, for our listeners to recognize today the value of every vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us on Let's Face the Issues today, Brother Bruce Latimer. Bruce is one of our local Republicans in charge of getting people registered to vote. Welcome, Bruce, to Let's Face the Issues. Delighted to have you with us.
I'm delighted to be here, Dr. Youngblood. We just met each other about a couple of days, maybe last week, and we were driving by. I was driving by with my friend and co-worker, Helen, and we saw all those Trump signs. We said, we got to stop and talk
Amen.
To this guy. So I came back a little while later, and we hit it off. I think we hit it off very well. And I'm really honored to be here today, especially with the width and the breadth of your audience. We are going to talk to so many people that we couldn't possibly reach
Amen.
With just shoe leather. We've got good volunteers. They're solid. They've been sweating and walking for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Amen.
But this is going to be very good. I have invited some of them to call in, and we hope that they will. So again, my thanks for you and your commitment to the cause.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I am thankful. I tell people, Bruce, I have not shared this, but some of our listeners are aware of it. I have been, well, I've on occasion, let me put it that way, I've received what I call love letters from dissenters that listen, and their position is so often that as a pastor, you ought not talk about those things. It's called politics. But ladies and gentlemen, as I've said before, and Bruce, we need to understand, and every Christian must understand this,
yes.
that from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and in that order. So everything that we talk about, whether it is the home, or whether it is family, or the church, or the church polity and procedure, or anything about the political process, all's in the Word of God. And it's the Christian's responsibility to hold that banner high
Precisely.
And honor God in it.
Absolutely.
And so there's not one thing in my Constitution that says that because I'm a Christian and a pastor and a theologian and I teach in the college and the university yeah. that somehow, some way I've lost my religious liberties.
No.
I've not. And so, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, Bruce, but in May of 2017, President Donald J. Trump signed an executive order that gave every pastor across America the relief that's been needed since 1954. The Lyndon Baines Johnson, the Johnson Amendment in 1954, Amendment. That gave the IRS the authority to prosecute and persecute Christians that talked about politics from the pulpit, was put to rest with Donald Trump's executive order.
Right.
Now, my only regret with that is that after he was elected, the House had introduced House Bill 27, and House Bill 27 had already gotten some pretty good traction. That would have evacuated, that would have totally changed, so there'd be no such thing as the Johnson Amendment. With the executive order, any new liberal president can go back and change that and start persecution and prosecution of Christians. But during the time from 1954 following until 2017, there was never a pastor, preacher, or church prosecuted under that rule, because it's unconstitutional. So we have the opportunity to talk about political issues, as it is called today, and I believe every Christian, every pastor needs to do so.
Exactly. You can talk about politics, but you can't endorse a candidate. That was the essence of the Johnson Amendment.
That was the essence of it. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Right after our news, we're coming back. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're talking about every vote counts. We need your call. We need your input. We need to hear from you today. Be right back after our news.
Let's face the issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.